Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. Yeah, that's what we do.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Bang, zoom.
Yeah. It's four hosts talking about, you know, we pick a topic every week, a film topic, and then we discuss and list our top five favorite films, actors, actresses, screenwriters, composers, favorite pets.
Colors.
I keep teasing that episode. It will happen. Favorite pets. favorite color palettes in film. But it's usually
most still seen in a Terrence Malick film.
it's four of us, and it's myself, Ricardo,
Jenny,
I'm Adam Scott,
and then usually Kevin is our fourth, but today he was out. He's out saving the world. No, I don't know what he's doing. We have our guest host stepping in, who was here a couple.
Fourth
or last episode? Two episodes ago? One episode ago?
I don't even know what episodes aired.
I don't know. I think you were on two episodes ago.
I think it was two, yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, it's Brandon Bennett. Hello. No relation to Bennett Miller.
No.
Didn't you make that joke last time?
I did, and it didn't work, and I just thought I'd do it again, see if it worked this time.
And I believe I followed up with neither Tony Bennett.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad I can keep that conspiracy tight.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's going on, guys? What have you guys seen? If he's done, what's going on?
What the hell? Oh,
we've seen Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, we've seen Spider-Man since then, yeah. Since we last recorded. Because we recorded two episodes in a row, so three maybe. So we haven't been, like, we've been ahead of...
We had a little hiatus.
Yeah. We had a little hiatus for 4th of July and Comic-Con. And when this is up, you'll probably already... We're going to put up a Comic-Con kind of like little like thing, like wrap-up. But yeah, Spider-Man. Did you guys see it?
I have not seen it yet.
I saw it.
Do you want to talk about it real quick? Without spoilers?
Everyone already knows what happens, right?
Well, someone may or may not get bit by a radioactive arachnid and gain
may or may
power.
Not.
Is that your way of hiding that it's a spider by saying it's an arachnid?
It could have been a scorpion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was underwhelmed. I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
So how much would you pay then to see it? This is my new thing. If you can go back in time and tell yourself do this, how much would you tell yourself to pay?
This is a weird.
That's my
world of bartering theater.
In a world of time traveling bartering theater.
Yeah.
How much would you pay to see the movie?
I can go back in time, and every movie theater is pay what you can.
Yeah. Or you could tell yourself, no, wait for Redbox. Or you could tell yourself to wait for movies.
Okay.
Or say, go to the Arclight.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't have told myself to go to the Arclight.
Okay.
I was content paying a matinee at the Vista. So it was like $6 or $7, maybe $8. But, I mean, at times I was thinking to myself, I should have just listened to Brian and skipped it, which I rarely think.
Get closer to your mic. I feel like you're too far away.
Okay.
There we go.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay. So I actually had the thought that, oh my gosh, Brian was right.
Yeah.
Because he had reviewed it already and
don't
told me not to
that.
See it.
Don't say that.
I know. And I
wait,
rarely
point.
Do
we
I
need
ever
an edit
utter
point.
Those
Everyone
words.
Be quiet. We need to cut that out.
Okay. So this is my thing with Spider-Man. Part three left such a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I felt like I was like touched. I felt like I was touched as a child. That's how bad a feeling it left me. That
touched inappropriately, touched like
in a good way, like oh
by
my,
the Lord,
my heart. Nah, yeah, yeah. that it was just such a bad experience for me. The last one, that this one was like I went in like negative, like with a negative expectation, like -10.
Mm-hmm.
So when it didn't suck as much as I thought it was going to suck, I didn't mind it.
See, that's the thing.
I won't buy it on DVD or anything or Blu-ray, but.
Well, that's another conclusion I've come to. I mean, I don't have any of the Spider-Man movies. Maybe he's just not my character.
I have Spider-Man 2. I really enjoyed that one.
But I also went in with low expectations because of Spider-Man 3 and also because Brian had just told me not to even see the movie. So I was like, all right, well, this probably isn't going to be very good. Yeah. And even then I was like,
So you went in with low expectations and you still
I wasn't expecting something amazing. I was this is just going to be a thing. And then I was like, oh, let's move it along. Let's pick up the pace a little bit.
I guess if I could time travel back in time and tell myself, I'd pay matinee at the AMC. So I'd pay $6 for it. Not in 3D. There's no need to see
in 3D.
Jenny?
I thought it was a good origin story. I mean, origin stories are origin stories are origin.
I think
it's
orange stories. I'm like, there's no oranges.
Orange.
There weren't any Mexicans in this movie.
And bananas.
Wow.
I could say those jokes because I am Mexican. Okay. If I got anything out of the civil rights movement, is I could make fun of my own race.
Yep. That's what
Zutu
you got.
Right.
That's what you're taking away from Cesar Chavez. Yeah. You can make jokes about your own people.
Yes.
You weren't like you weren't disappointed that it was yet again an origin story, though?
See, I liked him better than Jake Gyllenhaal, though.
Toby Maguire.
I mean, Toby Maguire. Whatever the fuck his name is.
Jake Gyllenhaal was horrible in the...
Whatever his name is. I hate Toby Maguire. I don't know why. I just really don't like Toby Maguire at all. And
Pleasantville?
No, I like him as Spider-Man. Sorry. Oh. Okay. Well, no, I didn't like that one either. Anyways. Okay. So Andrew Garfield, I thought was really good though as Spider-Man. I'm not sure how I felt about Emma Stone in it. I like her being more dependent and not. I'm a whiny brat. independent than dependent. Whatever. I'm messing up all my words today. But I think
you don't have a drink in front of you.
That's why.
That's just water. If that were vodka.
That's what it is.
You'd be hitting on all cylinders.
You would.
The second one's going to be a lot better than the first one, though.
So how much?
I can already think.
How much would you pay to see this?
I would go see it, and I would pay whatever.
But not 3D.
I won't see it in 3D. I wouldn't see it in IMAX.
So just regular $12.
I would do ArcLight probably. I liked it enough to do ArcLight. I'd do regular.
Regular non 3D ArcLight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like the POV. And I thought the acting was good, but I felt like I didn't need the origin story again. It felt really dragged out. It was too long. It didn't need to be 2 hours.
They had to do origin story again. It's a new thing. It's a new trilogy.
They didn't have to make it a whole hour long origin. We already know the origin of Spider-Man.
Like the Incredible, when they redid the Incredible Hulk, they used the title sequence to say, "Hey, this guy had an accident. He's the Incredible Hulk now."
Let's move on.
They redid the complete origin story of the Incredible Hulk in the title sequence.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's true. And that I enjoy that one better than the original, than the first one.
And no Dylan Baker. Burn the Dylan Baker.
Yeah, that's he and Billy Dee Williams have a sort of club for being gypped on characters that was being built up to play later.
That sucks.
But everyone was great. Like I Dennis Leary was good. Reese Stephens was good. I thought Martin Sheen was awesome as Uncle Ben.
So I want to see. I want to see his origin story.
Uncle Ben's.
Yeah. he was so good. I want to see a movie with Martin Sheen.
I want to see Captain Stacy.
Yeah.
A Captain Stacy prequel. Yeah. Just Dennis Leary walking around with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like him. I like Sally Field and Martin Sheen. And then I wanted to see them falling in love. their origin story.
I think Andrew Garfield is a good actor, but I did not like this version of Peter Parker. Does that make sense? I didn't like Peter Parker as a person.
I hear you. I wanted them to reveal that Campbell Scott was the same character as Roger Dodger, and he just like I can't handle kids in my life.
He left. This
thing. He left to go check out other
sleep around.
Yeah, sleep around. So yeah. All right. Anything else you guys saw?
I feel like we've seen a bunch of stuff because we've been on hiatus, but I mean, I can't even. I saw The Untouchables.
Untouchables.
It's a French movie.
Oh!
Did I talk about that? I feel like I might have talked about it before. It's about.
Was the dude in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to see that. How is it?
It was really good.
Yeah.
I saw. I would pay ArcLight prices for that.
Okay.
I saw.
Where's it playing, by the way?
It's playing at the Limley Theaters. That's where I saw it. I don't know where else it's playing.
Okay.
I saw Your Sister's Sister.
How was that?
Which I really liked. I would also pay ArcLight prices for that. what else did I see? It's been a while. Take This Waltz, which I really liked.
I would also
pay ArcLight prices to see.
So it's definitely worth it on demand, because I was going to get it on demand.
Yes.
All right. We'll get it on demand and invite you guys.
What? Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Ooh,
I
saw.
How is that? That was really good.
I haven't drank the Kool-Aid. I'm not on.
Really?
I'm not on the bandwagon.
Okay.
Like, it's pretty, but I have issues with this on other levels that we would have to have an entire podcast just about that.
I feel like, is it a slow movie? Am I going to like this?
It's trying really hard. I don't think it's Malicky enough for you.
Okay.
It doesn't have the stillness.
Okay.
Like, there's something like, it's a wannabe. It needs more cowbell.
Okay.
It's a wannabe Terrence Malick, but they don't get there. It's weird. It's like they're not vague enough. Like, they try to embed too much of a story in it, and, like, they get stuck on it, and it kind of trips things up.
So how much would you pay to see this?
I would pay, like, a matinee, like a bargain matinee price to see it. Okay. Just because it's really pretty, and to see on the big screen was lots of fun.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have story issues with it.
Yeah.
And, again, just personal issues with the movie that...
Yeah. Brandon, did you see anything?
I haven't seen much, mostly because, and I know this is a movie podcast, but I finally started watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Ooh, that's one thing I haven't done yet at all.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm at season 5 in as many weeks.
You're hooked.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It is really...
addictive.
I mean, it's a thing where, like, I know enough people who really love it. It seems like a thing right up my alley. I love Joss Whedon, you know, what he does, mm-hmm. and I can't believe I hadn't watched it before. Season 1 is a little bit slow, but there's enough good stuff to keep going, and then it is... It's amazing. I'm just mostly surprised more than anything.
I feel like one of the things that can help people get through season 1 is the guest stars that you forget about. It's like, oh shit, I forgot this person was on that show.
Yeah, that's true. Like Julie Benz is in the first few episodes.
Oh, wow.
What's his name? Niedermeyer plays the villain in the first season. I can't remember his name. Mark something?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I just remember rewatching it and being like, oh shit, I forgot all these people were in this.
Yeah.
And
How many seasons is it?
7.
Okay. I could do that.
Yeah, no, it's all on Netflix. But movies.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's all on Netflix.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought you were renting them or borrowed them from someone.
No.
Oh, then I'm on board then.
Netflix is big on Whedon stuff. It's Serenity. Yeah.
Love it.
Firefly. Dollhouse is all on there.
Dollhouse, Angel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But movies, though, I did see a documentary called I Think We're Alone Now, which is a documentary.
It's about Tiffany, right?
Yeah, about three Tiffany fanatics. And fanatics is an incredibly light term.
Is it really?
It's good. I meant fanatics is a light term in how devoted they are to Tiffany. There's two guys who fall, you know, somewhere mid to heavy on the autism scale, and then there's a guy with an incredibly confused sexuality. But they both have the most.
So funny. I was joking when I said it was about Tiffany.
Oh no! Yeah, no. I think we're alone now. No, it's absolutely about Tiffany and three guys who are obsessed with her.
Wow.
And one guy is actually a convicted stalker.
Wow.
Who still, you know, goes to her concerts and everything. He got arrested because he was doing, you know, it's the kind of crazy where what he did was he brought her flowers and a sword, like in a kind of ceremonial gesture of honor, right? Like his lofty ideals, like, oh, this is a noble weapon. I'm going to give it to Tiffany. This is my gift to her. But it's a sword and you're a stranger.
and you're
in the back, like you're waiting, you know, in the back of the venue for her to come out and get an
with
autograph.
The sword.
And waving it around. Tiffany, I love you.
Once more into the breach.
but it's good. It was only an hour. It's one of those.
And it's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's kind of the Vernon, Florida, you know, check out these weird people.
I'm on board.
That actually reminds me of two other movies that I saw that I forgot about. Okay, Ted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which the Giovanni Ribisi character reminded me of. I think we're alone now.
Who was? I can't remember. Oh, his dad, the kid's dad.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot. Okay.
Yeah. And then
he's fucking creepy.
And he's dancing to I Think We're Alone Now.
Yeah.
And then what else? Which I mean, it was like a long episode of Family Guy. Did we talk about Ted?
No, I don't think we did.
Time.
We saw it a long time ago when the effects weren't done yet.
Oh, so. Okay.
Did you like it?
It was all right. I was expecting a long episode.
It was what you were expecting.
Yeah,
Family Guy, and that's what I got.
I feel like
a bear instead of a
dog. Do you like Family Guy?
I'm okay with Family Guy.
Okay.
This is what my thing with Ted is that I really enjoy the teddy bear part of it,
mm-hmm.
but Mark Wahlberg isn't a lovable loser because he's not a loser.
You can't buy Mark Wahlberg as a loser.
Oh yeah, she's really gonna dump him. No, this guy's like buff and cool looking, and we needed like Topher Grace.
I think he's good at playing a dork.
He's too buff to be dork.
Like Andrew Garfield in Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. He's way too hot to be Peter Parker.
He is a little too hot.
Yeah.
He's not
That's the only reason it was believable that he got Emma Stone was because he was so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a dweeb Peter Parker would not get Emma Stone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So how much would you pay to see Ted, by the way?
Matinee price.
Matinee price.
Because, again, it's just like a really long episode of Family Guy. So it's like, well, Family Guy's on for free, so.
Yeah. I saw.
I loved all the stuff with Flash Gordon, though.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I just want to ask. Does it have any cutaways? I'm really curious.
Yeah.
It has a bunch of non sequitur jokes.
Yeah, it's just like an episode of Flash Gordon. And then you got like the little
Family
side
Guy?
Characters.
Episode of Family Guy.
Oh, I mean, like the cutaway to Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, like the non sequitur jokes that Family Guy is.
Yes.
Like, is that in Ted? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they've got side characters who they just, like, randomly have just non sequitur jokes or just a spoken joke. It's like, oh, yeah. And then this guy beat me.
Who is the guy that his boss is obsessed with? I keep forgetting. The actor he's obsessed with?
Tom Skerritt.
Tom Skerritt. Yeah.
He's like, I know Tom Skerritt. Yeah. I love all the side... I like everybody... But I wish it wasn't Mark Wahlberg. I wish it was like Topher Grace or somebody.
That'd be different.
But anyway, I enjoyed it. It was funny enough. And I saw the new Woody Allen movie.
Oh, I need to see that. So how was it?
What is it called? From Rome with Love. It was...
I mean, is it
To Rome with Love, yeah.
And he said he hates that title.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's weird. There's a couple storylines that don't... Like, you're like, where was he going with this? I felt like it was kind of like... You know how we watched the documentary and he talked about how Annie Hall was also Manhattan Murder Mystery?
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of lobbed that put off. That's what I felt like for this. Like, you could have done without two storylines and it would have been a much better movie. But again, even like with like minor Woody Allen movies, like where it's like The Curse of the Jade Scorpion, stuff like that, Small Time Crooks, I really enjoy them because there's funny moments in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes up for, hey, it wasn't an amazing film overall. But I enjoyed all the jokes that it was really entertaining. And that was the case in this.
Well, I mean, a quote-unquote lesser Woody Allen movie is better than a majority of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. And I don't mind paying, you know, though I didn't pay for it. Michelle's dad and Jenny's dad treated me to the movie. So I would pay that price.
So to see this movie, you would enter a relationship. at a certain point, you will have the movie paid for it.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
That's interesting way to go about seeing it.
No, but I mean, if I had to pay for it, I would pay $12 to see that. I don't mind. It was really funny, and all the characters, you know.
That's good. You make a movie a year, you're playing the odds.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was fun. You know, it wasn't Midnight in Paris, but it was definitely, you know, at the level of, you know, minor Woody Allen, which is still fun and better than anything out there right now.
It was lower than Midnight in Paris, but it's higher than Scoop.
See, I enjoyed Scoop. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the Woody Allen parts of Scoop,
yeah.
But the Scarlett Johansson Woody Allen impersonation is a bit much at times.
Yeah, yeah. I still enjoyed it.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I didn't like want to kill myself afterwards or anything. I wasn't like, damn you, Woody Allen, because
yeah.
I would never say that, but...
But I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was better than Scoop. Definitely better than Scoop.
Okay. That's all I was looking for.
That's a weird choice, I think, that continues in Woody Allen movies where there's a guy playing an analog of Woody Allen.
It's the case for this. In this one, there's three characters. There's Woody Allen and then two other characters playing the same character. One in French and one in Italian.
That is so Roberto bizarre. Benigni?
No. Oh, it's another character.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're like, this is Italian Woody Allen.
I want to see that movie, Italian Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I also saw First Position. It was that documentary about ballet dancing kids.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. It's crazy.
In theaters or?
It was. I don't think it's going to be in theaters anymore. Okay. It's an IFC movie. Like, it just left.
Okay.
But it's interesting.
Interesting. All right.
Crazy the stuff those kids have to do.
Ugh, yeah.
Crazy kids. All right. So should we get into the list? It's 20 minutes.
We're 20 minutes already?
20 minutes in. Oh, what's the stream of the week?
Okay. Have any of you seen Paper Man? I just watched that for the first time.
No.
Paper Man, Jeff Daniels. He's a grown man who still sees his imaginary friend, Ryan Reynolds, who's Captain Excellent. He's like dressed like a superhero the whole time. And it's Jeff Daniels playing this novelist who's sort of separated from his wife. Like, she stays in New York to work in the hospital she works at, and he's moved out to Montauk in this house to write his next novel. And he has an imaginary friend who he sees while he's like writing his novel, and he makes a friendship with Emma Stone, who's like this high school girl in the town. They just kind of form this weird sort of Lost in Translation like relationship, but not the romantic angle isn't quite the same. Mm-hmm. It's more of a straightforward friendship, yeah.
And it's called Paper Man?
Paper Man.
Okay,
and I really liked it. It's great. It's on Netflix right now.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to check it out. Paper Man on Netflix. All right. Should we get into the list?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Now, who wants to go first?
Not me.
I'm looking at you.
That's usually the guest host, right?
Yeah.
I liked that host position, by the way. okay, number five is the Cold War epic, 1985, Spies Like Us. With Austin Milbarge and It's just because I love the names. Austin Milbarge and J.H. Fitzhume. Anyway, Dan Aykroyd and Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Get, you know, mistaken identity. You know, they're put out onto a mission and they get mistaken for the real spies and, you know, launch a nuclear weapon and all hell breaks loose. But it's, I remember as a kid, it was before Trading Places, the funniest movie I had ever seen.
Interesting. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. And it's been a while and I don't remember a lot of it.
Doctor, doctor,
doctor,
doctor,
doctor,
yeah. Doctor.
That I remember. Yeah.
That when they're testing them, like they're doing a G-force test, and their faces stick, and they just drop them, like they, like as a crash test.
Yeah, they're just putting this steel thing and just drop to the ground.
Yeah.
good way to start us off, though.
Yeah,
that was nowhere on my radar, so that's cool.
Okay, adventure film is such a weird.
Yeah.
Broad category to me. I was really...
I try not to do any action movies, per se.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like people that go on an adventure that... I don't know. It's hard. It was just so... I had so many on my list that it was hard to narrow it down just because it's like... It's kind of a little bit of a wide net to cast.
Well, yeah,
because
I mean... Lots of people go on adventures in movies that people don't even consider adventure movies.
Yeah.
So it's... I think it's a very... This is probably one of the most... subjectively broad topics that we've done.
I just use the definition of adventure, which is something along the lines of an unexpected situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think this one, I think Spies Like Us definitely applies. Yeah. And I did see it pop up on a couple lists. I'm like, yeah, that's a good one, but there's so many other ones I want to do too.
Yeah.
But
I wanted a comedy.
That's good. That's a good one. Yeah. I have a comedy too for my number five. So, Adam?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, damn it. We're going this way?
Yeah.
Shit.
We always go that way.
He's got to make his list. Hold on.
Wait,
we got to
Let's pause for a sec. All right. So I'm just gonna throw this one out there. This is a movie I saw relatively recently. It's from 1975, and it's called The Great Waldo Pepper.
I've never heard
and
of it.
I haven't seen it.
It's a Robert Redford movie. It's about barnstormers, it was like after World War I, you had all these people who knew how to fly planes now, but they didn't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they would basically fly. They were kind of like con men, where they would go from town to town and like drum up excitement and like put on a little one-man air show.
Oh, wow.
And it's really fascinating. It's who directed this? George Roy Hill. And it's really, I don't know why more people don't know about it, because it's really exciting. Well, There's an element where I guess it got a little bit dark in the beginning, and that's why George Roy Hill says that it did so poorly. But Robert Redford's great. Bo Svenson's in it. Susan Sarandon. Edward Harriman is great in this movie. And it's just a really fun... It's kind of that same vibe as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where it's like the sort of tragic hero. And it's just watching his trials and tribulations kind of doing the barnstormer circuit, where he's just going from town to town trying to put on shows, and then he gets in trouble with that, and he's trying to get a job in Hollywood as a stunt pilot, and he ends up working on like Hell's Angels. And it's really fun and really interesting, and you should definitely check it out if you can find a copy of it.
Oh, nice.
I really like it.
And it's not on Netflix?
I don't think it's on Netflix, no.
Damn it. All right. Well, now another effing movie to put on my list of things to watch. Thanks, dude. But good one. And I like when movies incorporate history and stuff, like the Hell's Angels thing you talked about. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like about Forrest Gump a lot. I hope I didn't step on anybody's toes with that. But that's what I like about Forrest Gump, is that you're like, oh, that's so funny. He wasn't really there, but it's funny. he's teaching me history. So, Jenny, you're number five.
Okay, my number five is a comedy as well. And it's from 1987. And okay, so I kind of went with my adventure. I originally went with they were like going on an adventure to land somewhere, like for a destination or to get something or save someone or, you know, like that. So I originally did that. So a couple of mine are like that. But then there's like one that's doesn't fit that. I just like the movie. So my number five is The Princess Bride.
Nice.
Perfect. So they're going on an adventure to go save the princess.
I think of any movie that doesn't have to worry about being justified as an adventure as a Princess Bride. Yeah. It is clearly an adventure movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's funny because you could put this in different categories, but no one would fault you for that. You could put it under romance. No one would fault you for that. comedy. No one will fault you for that. So it's a definitely fairy tale. An adventure.
It's everything. It's romance.
Exactly.
Quest.
Yeah.
It's everything but horror. But everything else, I guess it would fit under.
Yeah, the main adventure parts that I can think of off the top of my head that make it, like, for sure in my head an adventure movie more than anything are, like, when they're in the forest and they have the big rat thing that they gotta fight. Yeah. And then they're like climbing through all this stuff and everything. That's like super adventuristic. And
yeah.
I can remember the first time I saw this movie. It wasn't from the beginning. And the reason it was from the exact perfect part. It was the exact perfect moment for me to see the movie from as like a 12-year-old kid when the Dread Pirate Roberts is pursuing them through the eel infested waters.
Oh yeah.
And that is also a very much adventurous part where they're being pursued and they have to climb the rope up the cliffs of insanity. And they have a duel and that, like, I was just sold. I don't know what this is, but I love this movie. And then ever since I've loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah. I didn't see this until I was an adult. I didn't see it till actually I started dating Michelle.
That's crazy.
Why was that? Because you just thought it was like a chick flick?
No. Well, yeah. To be honest,
seemed
no,
really
true.
Busy from the trailer. Yeah. A lot of action happening.
It wasn't still enough.
It wasn't still.
No. I just. It was one of those things where it was like, oh, it's a girl's movie. It's like because it's called the Princess Bride. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you know when I start, you know, as a kid you start getting really into film and then. At one point, I was like, well, it was written by William Goldman. I should see it because I dig his writing. And then I didn't see it. I just let it go by until I started dating Michelle. And that's one of her favorite movies. So it's like, all right, let's watch it. And that it was amazing. Yeah, of course.
When I was 12 years old, a woman picked me up from, like, we had, like, a carpool.
Where's this going?
Here we go. This is.
We had a carpool. No, it's not.
Here's the adventure.
It's not insidious. Nothing insidious.
Slow down,
it was like my after school babysitter or whatever because my mom worked.
A little closer to the mic.
Yeah.
Do you want me to talk lower? Yeah. So when I was 12 years old.
Okay, so my after school daycare provider, whatever you want to call it, because it feels weird saying babysitter because I was 12, but whatever. She watched me and her kids and my brother sometimes, and they had Princess Bride and it was just on one day, and then so every time I would go over to her house after that first time when I saw it, I always wanted to watch the Princess Bride, and I'm pretty sure I annoyed them to death.
You're like, let's put on that movie.
Yeah, let's put on the Princess Bride. Let's watch that again. It was either that or I wanted to play Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. Oh. Those are my two.
Well, as a kid, you only have like one movie that you always request all the time. So
yeah.
Maybe two.
Man, I thought this story was going somewhere cool and dark.
No, I told you it was nowhere in
the
city.
Then he went into the closet.
Yeah.
She followed him.
And then
light got turned off.
Wow. You were there.
I didn't say anything else. Your mind.
It's crazy. So, for number five, I swapped my number four and number five. So I'm sorry.
Why did you tell us that? You didn't have to tell us.
Sorry,
that.
I just wanted.
You could have just done it. Listen, guys.
Truth be told, guys, I swapped.
I feel guilty.
Okay, my number five is from 1989, and it's The Wizard.
The Wizard. No, The Wizard is great.
I love it.
Power Glove.
Yeah, Power Glove.
Jenny Lewis.
Super Mario 3.
Jenny Lewis from Jenny Lewis in the News. No, that's Huey Lewis.
No, when I found out that it was Jenny, that
Jenny
blew Lewis,
your mind?
I had, well, yeah, because I had already loved Rilo Kiley, yeah. And then I found out Jenny Lewis was in The Wizard, rented The Wizard again.
And True Beverly Hills.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally need to see this again.
I rent True Beverly Hills again.
And yeah. Firefox.
Yeah.
So well, she's the only girl who doesn't take her top off.
Lame.
That was for Ricardo.
Yeah, it was
because she's like 16, right?
I don't know. How old? And Firefox? Not. Not Clint Eastwood's Firefox. Not about the Cold War, but Firefox with Angelina Jolie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is basically Fred Savage. He has a little brother. He's kind of like autistic a little bit. And he runs away and they both run away. Both Fred Savage and his little brother. And the little brother wants to go to this thing, this like competition. And it's supposed to be at Universal Studios. And I feel like the whole movie was just a big old ad for Super Mario Brothers 3.
It was.
Which it was.
And it worked.
Yeah. And it's just they go on an adventure and they travel the United States and they meet Jenny Lewis on the way, who's kind of like a runaway, but her dad doesn't really care, which is weird. I don't understand that whole relationship with her and her dad.
Don't read too much into it.
Yeah. I don't want, I won't, yeah. And then they meet this dude with a power glove, and that's when you were like, what the F is that?
That's not how that works at all. Yeah,
I know. And then you got it, and you're like, this power glove sucks ass. It doesn't work at all. But yeah, so it's a big old commercial for Mario Brothers 3, but it's really fun. And, you know, as a kid, I love this movie, and I kind of still do. I just watched it. It was on streaming for a while, and it's still fun. Anyway, and you get to see all the old Nintendo video games.
That was my favorite part when they got there and they saw all the video games playing. I've seen them play the video games on the big screen. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was around the same time. I actually want to ask you guys. I grew up in Denver, and around the time that this was released, around the time Super Mario Brothers 3 came out, there was a big video game convention in town. But I thought I remember it being like a tour thing that Nintendo did. That might have been in conjunction with this, or like I thought it might have been the first E3. I couldn't really remember because I was so young. But I went into the competition, and I lost on the first round. But it was a Wizard-style competition because it culminated in playing Super Mario Brothers 3, which was weird because I don't think anyone had played it at that point.
No, that was the point. That was the point that to see who would get farthest in
the
game.
Yeah, but I didn't do it. It was level one of Mario that was the first trial, and I didn't I didn't beat any of the other children.
The turtle got you.
Yeah.
Damn turtles.
That's why I hate turtles. No, the Nintendo did roll out a tour, a countrywide tour, and it was just promotion for the movie.
Yeah, that must have been it.
Yeah. And I think that's when they launched their magazine, the Nintendo magazine.
Nintendo Power.
I had Nintendo Power.
Yeah. So it spawned a lot of cross promotion with that movie. So that's my number five.
I really appreciate you not putting that as your number four. Let me just say that.
I know, no. The number four meant more to me.
So. Are you going to swap that with three now?
No.
You better tell us, though.
I'll tell you guys.
We'll know if you're lying.
I know.
Okay. I made a snap decision on my number four because...
Oh, here we go. Confession
Wait, did
time.
You just switch? Did you just switch also?
No, I didn't switch with anything that was also on my list. I feel like... Someone's going to do that one. So I want to pick something that I'd originally wanted to put on. And it is actually another comedy, but it is Sullivan's Travels. Preston Sturgis, 1941.
Ooh.
Has anyone else seen Sullivan's Travels?
Yeah, okay. I've seen that.
Basically, it's an ode to comedy while being about the economy. You know, Hollywood director is tired of making, you know, dumb comedies, wants to do something serious, called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where they got the title from.
Yeah.
And decides to go live as a tramp for, you know, a few weeks or however long. And he keeps, you know, through his adventures, keeps winding up back in Hollywood, meets Veronica Lake. You know, they go out together. But he eventually gets lost, you know, in the real world and actually gets arrested and sent to prison. And it's I really like it because it's really funny, but then out of nowhere it gets dark, at least in 1941, you know, level of
standards.
Dark. Yeah, like it's a depiction of poverty. I feel like while I haven't seen a lot of movies around that time deal with it, like I can, the only other movie I can think of is My Man Godfrey, which treats it pretty lightly. This one treats it, you know, fairly darkly. You know, he gets beaten by, you know, a guy after he starts handing out $5 bills to everybody. And that's when he ends up getting sent to prison because he beats a train worker.
Yeah.
So it gets really dark, but, you know, in the end he decides he wants to make the comedy because, you know, people take pleasure in comedies. And I think it's a great defense of the value of comedy, you know, while also making, you know, I think for the time, probably a pretty strong statement about poverty and our attitudes toward it, towards it, while being very, very funny even today.
I know, totally. And I wish they did have a category for comedy in Oscars.
Yeah, they should.
I mean, they have it in the Golden Globes. I don't know why.
But even then, they bundle it in with, like, musicals. Yeah. And you know they don't give a shit about musicals. So it's like, oh, well, we'll just do a thing that...
like the Bastard Child.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just put all the things we don't really care about into a category and then award them.
And this movie reminds me of something...
And musicals are never funny. So.
Oh, yeah. No. It reminds me of... they're never funny. Unless it's, like, the last movie. What was the last movie you guys went to see? The Tom Cruise movie?
Rock of Ages.
So speaking of tramps, do you guys remember when hobos used to be like classy? Like they'd wear like suits. They were dirty as hell, but they wore suits.
Well, that's because like when everyone would wear like a suit. Yeah. Just because the clothes you had before that got tattered were suits. Yeah. And it was a, you know, a thing of respect, yeah. You know, that, you know, if I have my hat, at least I have something and I yes. can look somewhat respectable.
Yeah. I miss classy hobos.
Yeah.
With the stick and the little satchel, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore.
The bindle. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one cares bindles.
Carts now.
No.
Yeah. It's
no hobo
cards.
Names.
Now every homeless person you see has a pet. That's the new thing, I guess.
Yeah. Which makes me really happy.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh,
really?
I know. It's weird.
Like, why?
If
you have no home and you can't keep yourself fed, how are you going to keep the, like, when I see.
Well, I think the dog probably eats better than they do.
When I see a homeless person. Yeah, no, true. But when I see a homeless person with a malnourished pet, I'm like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, but that guy's probably also malnourished. I don't know. I think it's good to have a buddy. They're a team.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many
it's like
animals.
Like Homeward Bound with a Person.
I mean, I'm going to go all crazy on you guys, but there's so many animals in the world anyways that are just, like, going without homes and, like, going to die anyways and being killed because of all these, because there's too many of them. It might as well have a life with a friend.
Yeah,
I guess true.
We're getting way too real here.
I know.
Sorry, guys.
And at least if the pet dies, it could eat the pet.
Yeah.
I'm just getting a little dark here.
Or if the person dies, the pet can eat the person.
Yeah.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
But now you changed my mind. I support it now. I support homeless people with pets. So good pick. I'm digging it. We got really
now deep. That we've made our stance on homeless people pets.
Just know that the pets can probably run away. It's not like they're like holding them hostage. Yeah.
That's true. They're not chained
not
together.
They're not, yeah, they're not. Yeah.
They can run away if they didn't enjoy who they were with.
So can the guy.
Yeah.
The dog's an asshole. The guy. Yeah, they can leave.
Fuck
yeah.
you, dude.
Yeah.
I'm tired of you.
Well, he wouldn't talk. He would go.
What'd you call him? Oh, sorry, as an example. Okay.
As an example.
What are we at? Number four?
Four.
Okay, my number four.
Better have a homeless person in it.
No.
All right.
Not that I remember. My number four is from 1991, and it's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Nice.
Nice.
This is, I feel like I've mentioned this before, again.
This podcast isn't about journeys, okay? It's about adventures.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So I have to use the first one?
No.
Is what you're saying? Because this is the one that I prefer.
The sequel is way better than the first one, right?
This is just the one that I had growing up.
I think that's a weird thing to say, but they are both good.
Yeah, they're both good.
I love the first one, but I only owned Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Bless you. And I love it. And I love William Sadler's death. And I love the stuff with the bad robot usses and the good robot usses. Yeah. And I love Station. And it's just a hilarious movie. And they go to hell.
Yeah.
They go to hell. They go to heaven. They trick their way into heaven by singing Every Rose Has a Thorn. Who the fuck thinks that shit up? It's a brilliant movie as far as I'm concerned.
Keanu Reeves keeps saying that he's in for the third one.
I hope they do.
Really?
Yeah. He's and actually, they got a writer, I think.
Already. What's the other guy's name?
Alex Winter.
Alex Winter.
Oh.
Of the Lost Boys fame.
Yeah.
I don't know. He may not be interested, though.
He's really
Alex
busy.
Winter. Yeah, yeah, he's really busy.
Yeah, he's like, you know what?
Hey, he directs stuff.
Yeah, he does.
What was the last? I was trying to think of that. I mean,
besides Freaked, I know he's directed other stuff.
Oh, Freaked, that's right. Freaked.
But he actually has things going on. I think he just works more as a director now.
Right, sorry.
by the way,
yeah, you should apologize. I think you hurt his feelings.
Yeah, I really got. Sorry. Tell Alex I apologize.
I will. I'm gonna.
No, good pick though.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great.
Could always use some more Keanu.
I feel like this is what we were talking about for animated features, how Batman the Animated Series is like, oh, that's why we love film noir.
Yeah.
And so this is a weird connection, but Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is, I think, why I like The Seventh Seal so much.
Because I think you mentioned it last time. The same death
character.
Yeah.
That Swedish weird.
Yeah.
He's got the weird accent going on. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
I like
it. Well, and they play chess with him.
And they play chess with him and Trouble and Battleship and Table Football and Clue. Basically every game.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I still like the first one better. It's whatever.
You're right, it is better.
Potato, potato.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my number four is kind of an adventure story. Adventures and Drugs, 1998.
That
Fear
is
and Loathing in Las Vegas.
That is an adventure.
Yeah, it is.
Totally.
It is.
They road trip. That means adventure. Road trip, adventure. Car, adventure. Boom, boom.
But I think you just spoiled your road trip movie.
I know. No, it's not. I don't know if it's a road trip per se. I think it's more of an adventure movie. I love this movie. This movie is so fun.
I love this movie.
Especially if you're inebriated. It's really amazing.
I don't need to be inebriated to enjoy this movie.
Oh, you don't. I mean, you don't need to, but it helps. It makes it even better.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
if I was inebriated, it would scare me more.
That's the best
does.
Part of it.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
This is one of the rare movies I walked out on in the theater.
Really?
Why?
Well, I think I mean I saw it in the theater, so I was young when it came out. I was probably like 15 or 16 probably when it came out. So I don't know, maybe it just didn't connect with me. I had never read any Hunter S. Thompson or anything, so I didn't know why I would be really interested. But then I went off and did a bunch of drugs. And then I found a way to connect with the movie. Yeah, I got it. I totally got the thing with the dinosaurs and all that stuff. So it was well done in that respect as far as like conveying all that stuff for guys who are just loaded 24/7 with mescaline and acid and shrooms and whatever else they're doing.
So what you're saying is if you don't like a movie, you should go experiment with drugs and then maybe you'll enjoy it after the fact?
Yeah.
That's what you're endorsing.
I like it.
I like that. I like that endorsement.
Well, you know what's funny is that
that's a good platform.
The movie itself. you should run for office. I think that movie comes closest to making you feel like you're high without ever being high.
And like, maybe that's why I was uneasy about it the first time, because I had never experimented with anything. I was, too afraid during high school for all that stuff. And maybe maybe that's it. It was good enough to make me feel uneasy about it.
Yeah.
So, win in that regard.
Yeah. But definitely. That's one of the only very few movies that I've seen that I'm like, wow, that makes you feel like you're drugged up and you're not. It replicates it very well in the way he shoots it and stuff, and it's really creepy.
I mean, it does make sense that it's a movie that you just have to be ready to experience.
Yeah.
I do love it. It's a great movie.
This is also one of the ones I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, Tobey Maguire.
Jake Gyllenhaal's going to send you an angry letter. He's like, I'm not that dude.
So do you get really confused when watching the movie Brothers?
they are both in that.
You're like, who is this guy?
Which one is this?
Yeah. It's so believable.
It's like they're twins.
Wait, I thought you were just crazy. I'm so confused.
Do you like Maggie McGuire? She's really good, right?
Now let's talk about this, because people fall in both camps. I think Maggie Gyllenhaal is really good looking.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Okay.
She's a famous Hollywood actress.
What does that have to do with it?
People put her on the big screen and she stars in things.
But that doesn't make someone beautiful.
Well, it makes them probably more attractive than lots of other people.
But I know people who are like, oh, she's ugly.
I don't.
I think she's really good looking.
I am ambivalent.
You're one of those people, huh?
I don't think she's ugly.
Okay.
How did you make me feel weird when you're about to call her ugly?
I wasn't about to call her ugly. Like I've heard someone told me that. This is not how I feel about Maggie Gyllenhaal, but someone described her.
It was me.
Wait, you said this?
Yeah, because I heard it from someone else.
A melting turtle.
A melting turtle?
A melting turtle, which I don't understand at all.
Oh, my God.
It was funny because it was a really mean thing to say, but then...
No.
Then you laughed.
I feel like an asshole for even saying that.
But you said it.
I thought it was
you
funny because
that.
The image of a melting turtle is very funny. But I think she's very. I think
whoa,
she's
whoa,
very
whoa, whoa. Wait, so you're okay with people melting turtles?
Whoa.
So you want people to do drugs and melt turtles?
Whoa.
I no longer endorse your run for office.
But yeah, I think.
What
she's
are you going to do with the turtles,
Jenny? Are you one of the people that think she's good looking or not good looking?
I think she's pretty. I don't like her as an actress.
Whoa.
There, I said it.
All right.
Man, I mean, still don't think he brought up the question to begin with. You called her ugly.
I did not call her ugly.
And you don't think
ugly.
She's a good actress. I think she's pretty and a good actress.
Me too.
And I'm still in the bad hole right now. Secretary?
Dark Knight? Secretary?
Oh, she is
Dark
really
Knight,
good in Secretary.
No, she's not good in Dark Knight.
She has a really great moment in The Dark Knight.
She's not good in Dark Knight.
In the warehouse, like her final moment.
Oh, that's
is,
the only... Yeah.
I think she's really great in that part. But like the interrogation scene, it feels really weird for some reason.
Yeah, true.
But I also think women in Christopher Nolan movies aren't very good usually anyway. Yeah. I think he's weird with women.
He's like, how are you saying?
Yeah, the female roles in Nolan movies
that's
are always
weird.
A little...
English accent.
English by way of Chicago accent. Yeah. That's what happens. You come out sounding like Tommy Wiseau. Why, Lisa? I did not.
She's really good in secondary roles.
She is. She was really
side roles, but she can't be a main
lady.
Have you seen Secretary?
No,
you should see Secretary.
I really enjoyed her in.
I don't like her. The movie with Will Ferrell.
With the.
It's really good though.
When he's like they're narrating his life.
Stranger than Fiction.
Yes,
Fiction.
I thought she was amazing in that. Yes. So
I really like Maggie Gyllenhaal, but she's not on my list.
She's not on your top five.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's great and beautiful, and I just want to get that on the record.
Yeah. Well, we got it.
This whole episode is going on the record. You are never running for office after this now.
Everyone said something negative.
My number four. I said something positive. Number four is from 1991, and it's City Slickers.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Really funny. Love it. Love Jack Palance. And it's an adventure. It's somewhere. It's like the journey that was unexpected. The unexpected journey.
Mm-hmm.
So.
He had to find his smile.
Yeah. Yeah. And Stern is really funny in it. Bruno Kirby. Everyone
They're
is
all
like,
great.
Amazing. Yeah. Even the sequel was like really, really good.
Sequel's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gave us that punchline for years.
I know.
Anything to The Legend of Girls Gold.
Yeah. And, but yeah, I love this movie and it always makes me laugh. And it's funny in the beginning. Is it the beginning of this one, right? Where the voice of Lisa Simpson is the actress?
Yeah. She's the girl that Daniel Stern has an affair with.
Yeah. Oh,
it turned blue. Yeah. That's her.
Yeah, it's a and who plays his son? Is it Johnny?
Galecki? Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's right.
Or Tobey Maguire.
Full circle. But yeah, that's my
Tobey Maguire.
That's my number four.
I had when I was a kid, I had the choice of seeing a sneak preview of City Slickers or Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. What did I pick?
I hope you picked City Slickers.
I did not.
Oh.
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Wow.
Hey, that's a good one.
It was good. I was a big Married with Children fan.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to go see Christina Applegate. I'm going through changes right now. I think that'd be better for me. And it was great. But then I saw City Slickers and it was
You're like,
better.
Oh. Wish I'd seen that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, it does me better for my changes.
Wow. Hey, Helen Slater's in City Slickers.
Yeah.
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 And Bruno Kirby's got that great line about how he wished he was that saddle. Oh, no. I think Billy Crystal has
Billy
a line.
Crystal, yeah.
He wishes he was her saddle.
Yeah. I wish Billy Crystal would be in more stuff.
So what you're saying is you want City Slickers 3.
Yeah. Why not?
No Jack Palance.
No Bruno Kirby.
And no Bruno Kirby.
It's okay. John Lovitz and Daniel Stern.
John Lovitz.
You don't like John Lovitz in City Slickers 2?
No, I do. But are you saying John Lovitz and Daniel Stern in City Slickers 3?
Yeah.
And Billy Crystal.
And Billy Crystal.
Oh, and Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
I see that. I could get behind that.
And what's his name? The guys that play the ice cream guys.
Is it Ben
Ira
Jerry?
And Barry. Yeah. Ira and Barry.
David Paymer.
David Paymer. And
I don't know the other guy's name.
Yeah. Well, what is your number four?
My number four.
Wait, aren't we on number three now?
Three.
Your number three.
Three. My number three is 2003's Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World.
Ooh, I just saw this like 2 weeks ago.
For the first time?
No, for like the 100th time.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this movie.
No, it's amazing. It's
It's kind of a little still.
It is very still. It has some parts of it kind of remind me of 2001, how they use a score and then just kind of move around the world, showing the activity on the ship. I think it's...
I want the sequels. I want the two sequels.
Yeah. It was just really expensive to make and complicated.
It's so good, though.
Everything really on the water good. Is complicated. Yeah, it was really great. I think it does a better job at world building, like in the first 5 minutes, than, you know, anything you can find.
Yeah.
A lot of times in something like this that's a period piece, they will throw things at you to be like, oh, look at the time we're in, and this is the kind of world, like explaining how an instrument works to some weird degree. Or like, oh, look at this cool invention of the time. What a modern age. And they do that a little bit, but it's
not so, in your face.
And it's so ingrained in the world itself that it's super effective and it's beautiful. They were actually able to film on the Galapagos, which is a rare thing. And it shows. It is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Peter Weir, so it's going to be gorgeous.
I really dig this movie. I think it's one of both Paul Giamatti, Paul Bettany and Russell Crowe's, some of their best work.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the kid who plays the kid who loses
Mr. Blakeney.
Yeah. He's a kid from Rome.
Yeah.
He's an amazing actor. So,
do you think I've always like thought I wanted to see that movie, but then I'm like, it doesn't look like my type of movie. And it looks like it's going to be work for me to watch.
See, I
no Maggie Gyllenhaal.
This is true. I wasn't interested in seeing it when I came out in theaters, and then finally someone convinced me to check it out, and I really enjoyed it.
Really, yeah. But and you don't really like war movies, or anything.
I don't really like war movies. I didn't really care about boats. I'm not a big Russell Crowe fan. I was like, I don't know why I need to watch this movie, and I loved it.
Yeah, okay,
it's great.
Okay.
It I mean, everyone. I am a big Russell Crowe fan, and Peter Weir, but it's.
I mean, again, I like him sometimes. I think he's a good actor. I never go see a movie because Russell Crowe's in
it. Right, that's how I feel too.
You know,
yeah.
You know what's so funny?
Like, oh, Russell Crowe, new movie.
I do. The thing is, also for me, I hate getting on boats. I feel like I get seasick. My girlfriend would argue with me that I don't get seasick, but I love movies that take place in the water. I like White Squall. I like anything. So this was, I definitely went to see it in theaters, and I really enjoyed it. And the score is amazing.
I had seen it in theaters. Yeah.
It has the best naval battle sequences you will ever see.
Yeah. Hmm. Really well done. Yeah.
Okay.
Good pick. Damn you.
Wait, so we're on number three?
Yeah. Yes. I wish I would have picked that.
My number three is not quite as grand of a movie as Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, but it's pretty close.
Oh, Old Man in the Sea.
It's from 1985, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Nice.
Why did I not think of that?
Yeah. I don't know. It's got adventure in the title.
It does.
I don't really even know what to say about this movie. It was so many different things. Like, it was so much fun, and it's scary, and it's Tim Burton and Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's Princess Bride in the sense that it's so obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like that. I mean, not obvious selection. I mean, that just like everything about it is just so great, and it's got everything in it. It was a big touchstone for, you know, all of us, I'm sure, growing up.
Yeah, I remember always, like, if this movie was ever on, you weren't going to get me to leave for an hour and a half until it was over, because I just love it so much and love all the crazy things that Tim Burton does.
Yeah,
and I was a big fan of Pee-wee Herman. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, it's funny because I recently was, somebody brought this up like about a year or two ago about if it still held up. And my sister, it was on Netflix streaming, and my sister put it on for my niece, who's like, she's like six, seven. She's seven. And she loved it. She would, that's one of the movies that went into the rotation of her favorite movies. And it's like, wow, like it's kind of held the testament of time.
Well, see, I wasn't, when you say still held up, I thought you meant to someone who had seen it originally.
No.
But
I,
it holds
I mean,
up for kids
I mean,
today?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Okay. That's what I meant. Like, if it still holds up for the new generation.
I gotcha.
But yeah, she loved it.
Well, that's good.
I love it.
Because that would just make me sad for the future.
Yeah.
In a world where children don't enjoy Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's got so many great moments. I love the Godzilla moments.
Yeah.
I love when James Brolin is playing Agent Herman or Agent Pee-wee or whatever at the end.
Mr. Herman.
Yeah. When he saves all the animals out of the pet store.
Yeah.
Large Marge terrified me to no end for a ridiculously long period of time.
The clown doctors.
Terrifying.
Yes.
What's the guy, Mark Holton, who I believe plays John Wayne Gacy in the Gacy movie.
Yes.
As the guy.
Even the clown that is mocking him when he loses his bike in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that was terrifying.
Yes.
What's the line? Is there anything you want to share, Amazing Larry? When he's in the meeting?
I don't know. Wait, what meeting?
When he's telling everybody like the plan to go find his bicycle at the beginning.
I don't even remember.
There's the guy, the Amazing Larry. I'm trying to remember what the line is.
I don't remember the line, but I know. Because I'm at the moment.
I just remember the Alamo has no basement.
But yeah, this is a really good movie. It's still really funny.
I don't know if Big Top Pee Wee holds up, but this one definitely does.
They keep talking about, isn't John Apatow producing the new Pee Wee Herman movie?
He is.
He is, right?
Writing it, Paul Rubens is writing it with Paul Rust.
Oh, wow. I'm interested. See who directs that movie. Maybe Tim Burton will come back.
Well, no, I hope not.
That'd be an interesting.
He's like, you know, I'm going to recast it with Johnny Depp.
We need a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to make someone's head like 20 times bigger than it really needs to be.
All right. Good pick, guys. Good pick. Who's next?
All right. So my number three is an adventure movie because it has dinosaurs in it, and I fucking love dinosaurs, and it's Jurassic Park.
I'm glad I took this off my list. I mean, somebody was going to put it on.
I took it off the list. I figured you would put it. That's why I did not have it on my list.
I literally moved it to number six. before we started. Good. Well, no, I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. Did you guys know the kid, the little boy in this, is the boy in the guy in The Social Network? He's the third associate. So it's Mark Zuckerberg, Eduardo, and then it's a third guy.
He's the third
guy.
I don't remember that.
He's the third man, so he kills all those people in Prague?
he is the guy, one of the programmers.
I don't remember. Is he the guy that when they go to the house and he's just like plugging away at it, he's like, oh, he's in the zone. Don't worry about him.
Okay. He's the guy that he jumps off the house and then the chimney comes down.
Oh, okay.
That's him. But yeah, that's who he grew up
with. So he's that really memorable guy in The Social Network.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that there's a burger place down the street from here. And he used to be, when I first started going there at the counter, he used to be a waiter there.
Really?
Yeah, and then The Social Network came out, and then he stopped working there. So I'm like, interesting.
Huh.
But yeah, anyway, I love this movie.
Back to how amazing Jurassic Park is.
God, yeah, it's got everything you want. It's got dinosaurs. It's got Jeff Goldblum.
It's got Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson.
Jeff Goldblum with a nice shot of his shirt about four buttons down, just lounging with his broken leg.
Yeah. He's a Dr. Satler.
He's too cool for
She's
a broken
not
bone.
Available, is she?
Hitting on girls with the chaos theory. Ooh.
Yeah.
He knows
girls,
how to do it.
Girls get excited over
the
chaos.
Tell me about it.
this movie is as close as I came to getting my remake of Westworld. I love Westworld, and I think it would
Westworld is amazing.
Yeah, I think I would love to see a remake of it. A really well done remake of it. But yeah, this is exactly like Westworld, basically, but with dinosaurs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michael Crichton writes Westworld a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much everything is a version of Westworld. Yeah. Wrote.
But, but this is a really good movie, and it's... man.
That moment, it's just the perfect... Being at the beginning of CG was effective because there's a lot more practical effects than there are any CG effects. But that moment when... they see the brachiosaur at the beginning is still an amazing moment. Like when the score kicks in and he goes up and pulls down his glasses, like that is still an amazing.
You can see it on his face.
Yeah.
It's like real.
And that's
the emotion on his face.
And it works because that moment is before you see any dinosaurs and you're already like, oh my God, what is it? And then you see this giant thing as the camera moves up and it just works every time.
Well, I think the CG, the CG in this movie holds up incredibly well.
It does. It's amazing because no CG holds up from the 90s.
Yep.
Well, even after the 90s, I think.
Yeah. It does. Like, it only has a shelf life about 3 years, maybe, before it starts looking a little wonky. But Jurassic Park is...
Those Blu-rays.
Yeah.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah, they look amazing.
For me, what got me was... Sorry to cut you off. Was the T-Rex, because it was a practical T-Rex. And that was scary as fuck.
Every time it's a close-up of, like, just him rearing his head down.
Mm-hmm. Creepy as hell.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I would be remiss. I would have to get a plug-in. If you're in the Los Angeles area, you can go to the Natural History Museum and see a Jurassic Park-based tour of the Dinosaur Hall.
Doesn't your girlfriend do the tour?
Yes, she does. I'm sorry. That was a shameless plug, but it is cool.
Yeah. No, it is really cool.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to plug it in
Jurassic Park. Yeah. No. It'll be great. They've got a brand new Dino Hall and everything, so if you're in Los Angeles, it'll be good.
That's awesome.
Question, if someone wanted to go to a tour and just request your girlfriend to give the tour, could they request her? Like, we'll wait for...
They could. They could say, could I please have Kelly McCumber give me a tour?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do if you're in LA. I love this movie. That's all that has to be said. Spielberg.
I believe they have one of the raptors from the movie in the basement of the Natural History Museum.
Is that true?
From what I've been told, yes.
Because it's not on display because it's not accurate.
It's not an accurate size.
It's too big.
So they don't put it on display, but it's in the basement.
It's way too big, right? Compared to the
It's like three times as big as what it is.
Wow.
Yeah. But we have one.
That's interesting.
I work there too.
Did you take a picture
of it? If I worked at the Natural History Museum, I would use that velociraptor like the dog in scrubs, and we just put it outside of places when people aren't expecting it, and you come out. And
I would mount it and just pretend like I was riding it.
Put it on one of the penny rides outside of the grocery store.
Yeah, but yeah, I love this movie. Jeff Goldblum, amazing, wearing all black in the heat. Why would? What did he have to wear a suit? It's really
it's just that cool.
So cool, man. The leather.
Yeah.
Come on.
And the Blu-rays are really cool because all the like the commentary and stuff.
I need to listen to those. I haven't yet.
Spielberg still doesn't do commentaries though, right?
No, it's like all the special effects guys. I think David Cope Kep. He does some stuff too. But yeah, loved it. That is your number three?
Yeah.
Okay. My number two is, let's see.
You mean your number three?
Sorry, guys. I've had one too many drinks.
He swapped it, so.
My number three is from 1995, and it is a movie by Joe Johnston, and it's Jumanji.
Jumanji?
Yeah.
I almost put that on my list.
That will make my girlfriend very happy.
Yeah. I love Jumanji.
That was the first movie she told me to do.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I'm also very surprised that you put that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that I think it's Robin Williams that does it for me.
It's a stampede.
Yeah.
It was the time when you were really into Robin Williams.
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. And he sells it for me. I believe him as that he has still the mentality of a kid.
Yeah.
And it's really really funny.
I haven't seen that forever. Hunt. That was good though.
Yeah. The monkeys are really funny.
I remember it being pretty scary for what they were going for, like the stuff that they had. And the hunter, what's his name? The guy playing the hunter, the English dude who plays the dad also.
Yes.
He was good. And then the stuff with the plants. It was pretty dark.
Yeah,
I liked how dark it was.
David Alan Grier.
David Alan Grier is really funny.
Yelling.
Bebe Neuwirth.
And Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. Who's
the kid? Who the boy?
I don't know. I don't know who the boy is.
And then
Bradley Pierce.
Is it Bonnie Hunt? Bonnie Hunt. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan Hyde. Is that the hunter?
Yes.
The English guy.
Yeah.
Yes, that's him.
Plays the. Isn't he in Richie Rich?
He's Australian.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, Richie Rich.
I remember him from the West Side Connection album.
Yeah. I really liked Richie Rich.
I used to watch Richie Rich all the time.
I did too.
He had a Slurpee machine in his house.
He had that dad finder thing.
Dad found.
I didn't see that in theaters, but I remember I was waiting for him video, and the video store lady was really upset at me because I would call every week and it's like, when is Richie Rich come out on tape? And she's like, I told you it's like in 2 months. Okay, I'll call back next week. When is Richie Rich? Is there any chance that it might come out earlier? She's like, no, it won't come out earlier. Stop calling.
You love Richie Rich?
I just wanted to see it. And I didn't get a chance to see it in theaters, though.
Yeah, that was one of those things that played HBO, like, a lot. Yeah. Like that and, like, The Page Master.
Oh, yeah.
Macaulay Culkin movie in the 90s.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
The Good Son.
My Girl.
Yeah.
He was the rage.
But I love Jumanji.
Yeah.
Love it. Exciting.
It is a good one.
It's a good pick.
I like it. I always wanted a sequel. I'm like, who's going to find the game next?
I need to watch it now because do you think it still holds up?
I think so.
Okay, have you seen it recently?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I loved it as a kid, but I don't know if I would still like it. Yeah. But I guess I could.
Yeah.
Zathura was kind of a spiritual sequel.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I went to see it.
There's a sequel to Jumanji?
Well, Zathura was written by the same guy who wrote the children's book, Jumanji. Yeah. And it's the same sort of conceit of the video game or the board game
becomes
alive.
And,
yeah, but it's in space.
Oh, that's right.
The house turns into a ship. It was great. It was really good.
Yeah, not as good as Jumanji. Because it didn't have...
didn't make the list.
Ron Williams. Yeah.
Dax Shepard? This Generation's Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart, isn't it?
Is she... Oh, she's the girl in Zathura.
She's a sister.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so there's two movies she was good in.
You're not helping me want to see this movie.
Yeah, she was good.
It's what got Jon Favreau Iron Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not made?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Made.
Made. Oh, no.
It wasn't Made. Oh,
Made did not make anything happen.
You don't like Made?
I did not enjoy Made.
Oh, I enjoyed Made so much.
I felt like...
it's so frustrating. That's why I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You enjoy the frustration.
It felt like Made... It's unavoidable. It felt like Made was made like 10 years from now. I feel like it's the same movie that would have been made when Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau were like 20 years older. And they went to go do another Swingers, like another project together that was kind of like Swingers.
They just sped it up. They're like,
yeah, they just sped it up. Let's just get this over with now. We'll revisit this thing and then we can move on. I remember I don't know who he was at the time. Was he Sean Puffy Combs at this time?
Yeah.
I think so.
Sean Diddy Combs.
Yeah. But I liked him in it a lot.
Screech was in it.
God, that's right. Dustin Diamond.
There's a lot of like famous people.
Isn't Peter Falk
Sam Rockwell
in it?
Was amazing.
Yeah, Peter Falk is in it.
Peter Falk,
he's the mob boss.
Yeah,
Sam Rockwell plays the gay bellhop.
Famke Janssen.
Wow, there was a lot of people in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
Bailing, isn't it?
Biling,
whatever. Bilingual. But Jumanji, my number three.
Yeah, let's talk about the adventure movies.
Okay, sorry. Number two, 1956, Forbidden Planet.
Ooh.
Kind of led that in going down on the voice. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. The first website I ever made as a kid was a Robbie the Robot fan page. And this would be Robbie the Robot on GeoCities.
Nice, GeoCities, and hell yeah.
This would be the first appearance of Robbie the Robot, later to be in The Invisible Boy, and I think a couple episodes of Columbo. But that's all stuff you could find on the page if it was still on the internet.
You mean that you didn't keep it up?
No, and I looked. They shut down GeoCities, right? Like about a year or so ago. And I went to try and find it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I'm sure it got deleted way long ago. I tried the Internet Archive to see if they have any trace of it, but it's gone. That and my Men in Black fan page all
damn it.
Into the ether.
Wow.
It'll be okay.
But this...
you just restarted again. Forbidden Planet.
I should. I wish, man, the Robbie the Robot page was great.
Really?
It was one of the only on the internet that I could find.
The only dude.
Yeah. All those Robbie the Robot fans today don't know
anything about him.
Yeah.
You started Robbie the Robot Facebook fan page.
Oh, yeah.
I should.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to do that.
Do it before this episode airs because someone will steal that idea.
Okay. But no, it's. I would have loved...
I'll like it.
I would have loved to put a bunch of Star Trek on here, but this goes right to the source of what kind of inspired that kind of science fiction. Because it is science fiction, but it's also adventure. You know, the more psychological aspect of it. Because it's also The Tempest, so it's a little more heady than some other things were. But it's about a kind of a peaceful... You know, I think it's, what is it, they're on the United... Oh, starring Leslie Nielsen, how could I forget, in an awesome dramatic role. And they're on, like, United Space Cruiser something, and they're going to rescue people from Altair 4, but they find Dr. Morbius, who has been living with his daughter and has been studying this ancient civilization, the Krell, that, you know, discovered some grand power and then killed themselves in, like, one giant swoop. And it's super great. Because the machine that he interacts with amplifies your fears and your thought waves. So, like, those become real-world constructs, and with awesome effects by Walt Disney, actually, who drew all the monsters, yeah. And which you see, like, when it's breaking through their, like, force field thing, there's, like, a weird outline of it, which is very cool for the time, I think, to kind of keep it really sparse like that. And it's got an awesome score, which actually in the credits is called Electronic Tonalities.
Wow.
Yeah, with Electronic Tonalities
by... Because they're using a theremin?
No, they're not using a theremin.
Wasn't dubstep?
It was a thing I guarantee dubstep uses it, but it was a thing called a ring modulator. But I think they did that to not pay guild fees.
Oh, wow.
Like musician guild fees. They called it something else, the Electronic
Screw
Tonalities.
The musician.
Yeah, yeah,
sounds
exactly.
Like Disney.
But no, it's amazing.
This is
and Leslie Nielsen, rest in peace.
One of the movies I want to see on the big screen before I die.
I saw it was at the Egyptian a few months ago.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Did you invite me to that and I just spaced out?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But it was awesome. It was it was great to see on the big screen.
Damn it. One day.
One day.
And the effects, for being from 1956, the effects hold up really well. Because it's mostly just matte paintings, and there's the small bit of Disney stuff, and then there's some like point.
I like the stuff with the laser garbage disposal thing.
Yeah, yeah, Robbie the Robot. And it's got Robbie the Robot.
Yeah,
come on,
that's
start
really
the
all
page.
You need.
Yeah,
cool.
Well, that was number two.
Yes.
So my number two, This Island Earth. No, just kidding. My number two is from 1985. Is that my two from 1985 in a row, and that would be The Goonies.
Ooh. Fuck, that's my number one. God damn it. I was like,
I
got so excited that Kevin wasn't here because I was like, Kevin totally would have stolen that one from me. But no, Adam had to steal
Kevin's it. Kevin's honor.
God damn it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's just a great movie.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
It's got Josh Brolin.
You got The Princess Bride, so.
Okay.
I I figured you'd have that. I didn't know if you had the Goonies also. But this was like my...
Well, you have a chance to change your number one to something else.
No, this is my number one.
Okay.
That's too hard.
You can't change the number one. That's tough. It's great. Fantasy, adventure, everything. It's got pirates and the Fratellis and Sean Astin.
When you talk about the Goonies, the only genre is adventure.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no other. You can't be like, I mean, you could kind of put it in maybe family or something, but no, it's adventure. That's what the genre is.
Family is just a silly genre.
Yeah, I completely agree.
It's an even, talking about adventure being a broad genre, family is an even.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's what it is. It's just, it's adventure.
Yeah.
It's every kid's dream to go on something like this.
This is the life I wanted to be Data.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to have all his little James Bond effects.
Hell yeah.
And I wanted to hang out with the Goonies.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a Goonie.
Yeah, me too.
Chunk is funny. I love Chunk.
Yeah.
Shuffle, shuffle.
He'll spill your guts. He's
hang out with Mouse.
I went to the theater and I said, ugh, ugh. Everybody started throwing up. I love Chunk. I like this movie as well. This is Richard Donner, right? And then Chris Columbus. Wrote this, I think.
Steven Spielberg produced it.
Yeah,
right?
This is a really fun, entertaining.
Still waiting for that sequel.
You know what's funny? I went to see Robert Orsi and
Alex Kurtzman.
Do a Q&A, and they were talking about how when the moderator asked how was it meeting Spielberg for the first time, and they said, "Well, we lied to him." He's like, "We had already met him before, they were on the Goonies, the sequel, with Richard Donner." And they just couldn't get the script right. And Richard Donner wanted these crazy ideas, and they didn't want to do it. They're like, people are going to hate us if we do this. So they had met him. They had met Spielberg for that. And when they met him again a couple years later, Spielberg is like, "Have I met you guys before?" And they're like, "Nope, never met you. Nice to meet you." But they were the guys that were supposed to bring Goonies 2. But apparently, they wanted to bring new kids, the kids of the Goonies, but also have the Goonies go on there. So it was two adventures that would meet up, and it would seem complicated.
I was joking. I don't really need a Goonies 2. I'm perfectly happy with the one and only Goonies.
I could watch it.
I would only
see
Goonies 2 if Josh Brolin was lead.
And it's gritty and dark.
Yeah. And
and he finds some money.
He finds some money, and Javier Bardem is after
chases him down.
Javier Bardem.
Tommy Lee Jones shows up.
Yeah. If you do a Goonies / No Country for Old
Men. No Country for Old Goonies.
Ah,
yeah.
There it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I feel like a lot of these movies that we pick that are higher on the list are all movies just straight from your childhood. I'm sure that's somewhat similar to other lists you guys have done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like your favorite movies being movies from your childhood. But Adventures, so specifically,
is
before you knew what a horror the real world actually is.
Yeah.
And so, these are, I want to be Data.
Yeah,
but
but
I'm not.
My purest images of adventure are from when I was a kid. If you ask me what a modern day adventure is, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I guess John Carter, but that's not a favorite. I don't want to go on that adventure. I don't want to go to Mars. And,
I don't know, the puffy chair.
Yeah, that was an adventure. Steal my number one, dude.
There's no really good adventure films. I mean,
well, now it's all the adventure. It's action adventure.
Yeah,
very specifically based upon some sort of superheroic.
There's no innocent adventures.
Yeah, it's all Sahara now.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a really random pull.
Fool's Gold.
Yes. Oh. Six days, seven nights.
I'm at the McConaughey kick now.
Yeah. Jenny, what is your number two?
Oh, yeah. Okay. My number two is from 1975, and it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Perfect.
Adventure to find the Holy Grail.
Yeah, I dig.
Yeah.
I'm glad one of us put that on there.
I don't think I'd put this on any of my lists so far, but it's been honorable mentions a lot, so I was like, I finally need to step up and put this shit somewhere.
Yeah. Put that poop somewhere.
Right?
Yes. I feel I've had it on one or maybe two lists.
I think you have.
Yeah, it's...
If you've done comedy, it was your number one.
No. I think Woody Allen was number one.
No.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember what I did yesterday.
Yeah.
I know.
But good pick. Anything specific that you want to talk about this movie about? No.
Just a lot
when
did,
how
of
old
adventures.
Were you when you saw this? How old were you?
I was -22.
No, not when it came out.
I know,
out.
I'm joking.
Dumbo drop.
Well, Dumbo drop.
That's damn it. That's your number one.
It had to have been middle school when it was, like, really funny to, like, talk about the fart jokes and, like, the things like that that they said. And you did the coconuts, and that's what you did in middle school. You talked about that. Oh, it was a bird from... I think it was a New Agent bit or whatever they say. I can't even remember now. I can't quote it anymore.
Oh,
I used to be able to quote it.
It's African or European swallow.
That's right. Yeah. I apologize.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. That's all we did in middle school is quote Python.
I remember getting shit a lot for quoting Python. I think I was in fifth grade when I saw it finally. Because I was in a production, like a school production of Robin Hood, where they totally just ripped off, like they just stole a bunch of jokes from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, really?
We had the Knights of Saint Denis. We had all of these things. Or it was less Robin
Hood. But it was Robin Hood?
Yeah, they did. They mixed Disney's Robin Hood with Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
In fifth grade?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That's madness.
Yeah. It was.
So for my number two, we're number two? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm a little lost there. For number two, I picked a movie from 1986, and it's Three Amigos.
Three Amigos.
Oh, City Slickers and Three Amigos.
Yes.
I feel like I would have both of those on another list. Whatever list that is like they're both be on that same list, yeah. But it's not this list.
Because I won't mention the movie I had before on this list, but I just feel like this is more an adventure than it is a Western, and it's more, I guess a comedy could have been comedy, but... I don't know. This is just a fun adventure.
No. He's infamous.
It's better than famous. He's infamous.
How do you know it's a mail plane?
He's
with
a
little ball.
He's a. Do you know? He's a. Do you know what the word nada means? He's like, isn't that a light chicken gravy? There's so many. Every line is quotable in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Every single line.
Great. He killed the invisible swordsman.
He's a. My friends, are you guys the? Wink, wink. He's a, yes.
Would you say you have a plethora?
That's my favorite speech.
Why would you use a word if you do not know what it means?
This movie is amazingly funny, and we can't stop quoting it.
No, yeah, so. I just want to watch it right now.
All right, everybody.
Let's pause it.
Two.
Wait, are we going to sing My Little Buttercup now?
My Little Buttercup. Has the sweetest smile.
Smile.
This has like a great... It's funny because it has a musical number and I love that.
Yeah.
I love that about it. I love...
Like that's how they're going to get everyone on their side. Okay, everybody. Let's do this number. A little bit rusty, but...
He's like, do you have any light beer? He's like, oh, we have tequila.
Do you have anything that isn't Mexican food?
This whole movie is amazingly funny, and they're an adventure. They think they're going to do one thing, and nope.
It's a sweater!
Yes, I quote this movie all the time, and I like when they get thrown off a lot, they're in their underwear. That's just genius. And they're like, caca, caca, woo, 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 look at me. But yeah, that's my number two.
And the salute too. Cross chest, mm-hmm. Crotch pump.
It's like the Macarena kind of. I feel like the Macarena stole their moves. So.
Yeah, except it didn't have the turn your head and cough.
You're right. Which I call the doctor, the hernia. But yeah, that's my number two, and I'm standing by it.
All right, number one.
We'll recap it, and then
recap it. Okay, yeah. Number five. I wish I had picked Three Amigos, but I picked Spies Like Us. Number four, Sullivan's Travels. Number three, Master and Commander. Two, Forbidden Planet. And number one, which I almost didn't have because I figured everyone would pick it, but then I was hoping that we'd all have a moment where we all had the same number one movie because there's no better adventure than this, is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yep.
Oh, really?
I didn't put it for number one.
That's my number one.
It's got to be the number one because it's the greatest adventure movie ever made.
Yeah, this was the first thing.
The first thing I think of when you say adventure.
It hits every single note. It is like it is nothing but constant adventure through the whole thing.
Like the combination of all the different variations of adventure to me, except for sci-fi.
Yeah.
But it's got the fantasy.
A little bit. I mean, you could say supernatural.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's supernatural, fantasy. Swashbuckling-ish. Yeah,
political.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's the whole kit and caboodle.
And it still has, I can't think, and you know how big of a Jackie Chan fan I am.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of a greater action sequence or set piece than the Jeep chase towards the end of the movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's him. It's a real dude being dragged under a car and jumping between Jeeps. And mm-hmm. you feel the danger, which is super rare.
Yeah.
I mean, all the beats are perfect. Like the, you know, the little when he just turns the car to run the motorcycle off the road. Like just all those little moments and, you know, the fights inside the Jeep. I can't. It's amazing.
I didn't put it because I figured somebody was going to put it.
Yeah.
I was hoping somebody would put it. Yeah.
And you guys both did it?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Everyone else.
That's good. That's good.
High five.
That was really weird.
A little gay.
You're really weird. it's a great movie.
It is
form of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
a Facebook fan page.
Fans of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So they like the fans of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
But no, I love this movie again. But is this your favorite Indiana Jones movie?
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, really? Because I'm more partial to The Last Crusade. For some reason.
See, I feel like Last Crusade hits, it's one of those movies I feel like it hits all the same beats that Raiders does, only like with his dad along.
Yeah.
And it's still like, okay, we're going to go back and fight the Nazis this time. And I love Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's it's as extreme as Sophie's Choice.
Wow.
But no, it is, I mean, they are both great, but Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think, is just so, and it's the first one, so it's just so pure that it's not Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, it is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough for me to make make a choice between the three. When I was a kid, Last Crusade was my favorite, but the only one I had was Temple of Doom. But now that I'm getting older, I really appreciate Temple of Doom more for how much darker it is. Like, yeah. I like the more how much more supernatural it gets.
Yeah.
And the stuff with Kali Ma and...
Kali Ma. Mom Shabba.
But I do... I mean, this is just the one where... This is the one I wish I had up until Last Crusade came out. Like, I was like, I have Temple of Doom, but I want to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark scared the shit out of me when they're in the Well of Souls. It's just a great movie from the beginning. I mean, it's the classic, most iconic.
Yeah. I dig. I'm with you guys.
It's the only thing that can squelch the memory of King of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, see, Temple of Doom is as far, I think, as you can push that stuff in that world. And if you push it further, you get Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Like the supernatural element or, you know, whatever it is. Because the second it's aliens.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little out of the realm because it's so earthy, like in everything, in the way Harrison Ford carries himself to the actual environments, to, you know, the tone of it. It's just, it's all so grounded.
And then Kingdom of the Crystal Skull to me is the antithesis of the chase scene in Raiders.
That's the only good part in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is the chase on campus, you mean?
No, no, I'm just saying the entire movie feels so fake. Like it's never like, oh, it just looks so fake. Like, oh, they're on a soundstage. Or like, oh, it's CGI. Whereas when you're watching the chase scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he's chasing the Ark, it's like the immediacy and the
danger
how visual it feels. The danger is there. And then when you see the aftermath, when they're on the boat and he's all beat up, you're like, yeah, I feel like that was just really him.
Yeah.
Like it's just the fight under the plane.
Yes.
Yeah. With the big burly German
mm-hmm.
and just those heightened like slappy punch sound.
Yeah.
It is just oh, it's great. It's gravy.
I don't blame Shia LaBeouf for that movie. I don't blame him.
No.
He didn't write it.
Yeah.
He's okay.
He's all right in my book. I like the beef.
I don't know about all that. But.
He seems not like a person I'd like to hang around with, but but he's fine. I think he's good on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's your number one as well?
Yes.
Well, give us a recap.
Okay. So I had number 5, The Great Waldo Pepper, number 4, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, number 3, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, number 2, The Goonies, and number 1 was also Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nice. Jenny?
Okay, my number 5 was Princess Bride, 4, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, 3, Jurassic Park, 2, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and my number 1 was The Goonies.
Oh, that's right. All right, my number 5 was The Wizard. My number 4 was City Slickers. Number 3 was Jumanji. Number 2 was Three Amigos. And my number 1 is I didn't pick Raiders of the Lost Ark because I knew somebody was, but I picked Romancing the Stone.
That was going to be on my list, and I opted for Raiders of the Lost Ark because I also figured someone would have Romancing the Stone.
I love Romancing the Stone. I love Michael Douglas. I like Danny DeVito in this. Everybody's amazing. Kathleen Turner.
I don't think I saw it when I needed. Like I
you didn't see it in the right age.
Yeah, I missed it. Yeah. So
I love this movie, and
you can
so fun.
Feel how it's a response to Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Clearly.
You can feel clearly. Like that's all over the place. I feel but like Michael Douglas is so good in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I enjoy the movie as much as I do because of the three actors.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely. And if then, it did not have them,
Alcalde, the guy who plays, or not the Alcalde, the guy who plays El Guapo. Is in Romancing the Stone, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Is the second one?
I think he's in the
second one. Yeah.
No, you are right.
He's the drug dealer who has all of her books.
Yes, yes. And he's like, this is Juanita. I read your books to them. And then he has Little Pepe, his truck. Yes. You're right. You're totally right. I thought you were talking about the villain in this movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, this is, that's right. It's Alfonso Arau, I think his name is. And he's a really good actor and director. He directed Water for Chocolate.
Really?
Yes,
yeah, he did.
That's
right.
Yeah. And yes, this movie is just so fun. And I always wanted to wrestle an alligator because of this movie, and make myself some boots.
Oh, so that just made me think of an honorable mention.
Really?
Wrestling an alligator.
Oh, okay. But yeah, this movie is fun. Have you seen this, Jenny?
No, I haven't.
Oh, this is. I think you would like this movie. It's fun.
Yeah, I keep meaning to. I don't think it's on Netflix, and nobody owns it.
I own it.
I thought it was on Netflix.
I own it.
Last time I checked, it wasn't. But maybe it was back in the day. Or maybe
I watched both of them on Netflix.
Okay. I have it on DVD, not on Blu-ray though.
It's not on Blu-ray. Gross.
But yeah, Danny DeVito's so funny in this, and yeah, all around fun movie. No CGI. No, it's just real fun. Cool stunts when they are stunts, but yeah, I always wanted to go looking for a treasure because of this movie.
Yeah,
or your sister.
With what?
Or your sister? Go looking for your sister.
That's right. Totally forgot about that. And yeah, Joan Wilder is her name. That's it.
Joan Wilder.
But that is my number one. And any honorable mentions you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, I've got a really strong honorable mention because I'm mad at myself. Primarily, and then everyone else for not bringing it up, because I kind of thought it was an obvious one, and I wanted to talk about some other stuff first, but King Kong, 1933.
Yes.
You could say both of them. I would say 1933.
Well, I would also, but I feel like
we talked about this.
I thought we talked about it on fantasy.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys talked about this on fantasy.
But yeah, no, I do feel
I would call it more of an adventure than a fantasy, but you could also call it a fantasy as well.
I think the thing for me for King Kong is the Peter Jackson one left a horrible taste in my mouth that I don't.
Really?
Yes.
Well, as much as I was disappointed by the Peter Jackson one, nothing can take away from how much I love King Kong. The original
King Kong is perfect.
Or your dad's version, the colored version.
Which I taped over.
Yeah.
Oh, 76?
Yeah.
No. He had a colorized version of the original King Kong.
Oh, really?
And I taped over it because, like, who the fuck cares about a color? Colorized is stupid. So I taped over it.
That's weird. Can you get that anywhere?
They aired it on, like, TCM. So he had to record it off of television.
I'd like to see that. That'd be weird.
Well, you can't borrow my copy.
I think I have a copy of that.
Bring it up.
I have a special edition, and it comes with both, I think.
But the Peter Jackson one, I really enjoyed what he did with Kong. Because he really overemphasized the idea that Kong was the last of his species and just kind of a lonely, kind of like, you know, rambunctious like thing. Like the scene where he brings, you know, Naomi Watts back to his like camp and is just kind of like, you know, rolling around and gets kind of scared at stuff and then is like trying to improve. I found it to be like really heartbreaking on that
level. Yeah,
but
I didn't like how that negates King Kong lives, so.
Yeah, King Kong lives. Yeah.
I'm just fucking with you.
But I thought Andy Serkis as Kong was amazing.
Yeah, he was.
Because he's always great.
Oh, I didn't know it was Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love him.
And then, so let's see, other honorable mentions.
It's just too damn long.
Yeah. It is very long. This stuff.
And they like the director's cut. Someone made me watch the director's
Brian.
Cut. I think it was Brian. And oh my God, it was too long in the first place. I don't need it to be longer.
Yeah. The 33 one is like, it's like 80 minutes
or something.
It's quick. Yeah, it is super fast. Yeah, it is. They're on the ship way too long.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're everywhere way too long.
Yeah, they're everywhere way too long.
And there's and a weird like thing with like the captain and Jamie Bell. There's like a weird like, homoerotic undertone.
He's like taking him under his wing.
Yeah.
And then the native part was a little weird. Like it was a little too xenophobic, I think, for my tastes. Yeah. But it was but I still enjoyed it. Anyway, other honorable mentions. O Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Yes.
Oh, I had that on there.
Yeah. Let's see, and Romancing the Stone I had. And another comedy, actually, The In-Laws. The original In-Laws with Peter Falk and Alan Alda. No, Alan Arkin, sorry.
I don't know. Boy, I didn't think about that. I was just thinking about The In-Laws the other day.
You were at the Bay of Pigs? Well, you can't win them all, so.
I was watching something and
Serpentine.
They made the reference to that. I was like, I don't know. I don't remember what it was, though. That's it? Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. I've got, all right, well, your Ricardo saying he wants to wrestle an alligator made me think of how much I loved Crocodile Dundee growing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
And then I actually kind of like the second one, too, a lot.
I would say the second one is like more of an adventure. In Australia.
Yeah, where they have to go back.
Yeah, although the first one is an adventure for him.
I don't remember that one. Was it good?
The second one? It was pretty good.
I enjoyed them both. Yeah. I mean, they're both better than the third one.
The best part of the first one, though, is when he turns on the TV and it's like, yeah, I remember seeing one of these. And he turns on and it's I Love Lucy. It's like, yep, that's what I saw.
Okay, so The Three Musketeers, the 1993 version of The Three Musketeers. I loved that movie. Yeah.
Oliver Platt,
Charlie Sheen, Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, yeah.
Crystal Donnell.
That's another nugget from childhood.
If you want to go there.
Have you rewatched it?
Not recently.
Okay.
So I can't say that it holds up, but I just remember loving it.
Yeah, I loved it back
then. That was great.
As long as I can remember. Another movie from 1985, Explorers.
Yes.
Yes.
Ethan Hawke, River Phoenix, and
Joe Dante.
Bobby Feit.
Yep.
Going into space, meeting teenage aliens.
No, not Joe Dante. I'm thinking of Interspace.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know
who did Explorers.
Explorers was Joe Dante.
It was Joe Dante. Also? Yeah. Okay.
Interspace is a good adventure film too. Yeah, that was quotable too.
That was one that I don't remember well enough to have included, but I do remember liking Interspace, and I thought of it when we came up with this topic. Stargate.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Which I don't know why I didn't mention on Sci-Fi, or maybe I did. And I just don't remember.
I love this movie. Kurt Russell is amazing.
Russell Crowe.
I love him too much.
This is one of those, I feel like I saw it way too many times in theaters.
Yes.
Yeah,
I did too.
Muppet Treasure Island.
Okay.
Haven't seen any Muppets.
Firewalker with Chuck Norris.
Louis Gossett Jr. Yes. Yep.
And The Rundown.
Yeah.
The Rundown. Good.
I love The Rundown.
Heavily underrated.
I love The Rundown. I love The Rundown so much I saw Walking Tall and I didn't like
it. Isn't the dude that fights him?
Cool.
Isn't he the dude from Surf Ninjas? Or am I thinking of the wrong person?
Ernie Reyes Jr.
Yes, he's in that. Okay.
Yeah, he was in Surf Ninjas and
The Rundown.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He plays Kino.
Yeah. I like Christopher Walken in The Rundown. It's funny. Jenny, your honorable mention?
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Galaxy Quest is amazing. Well, that's another one I think is
Galaxy
way
Quest
underrated.
Is Three Amigos. So it's kind of it's the same movie.
Yeah.
Actors. They're actors. And then
And they go into the reality. But Galaxy Quest I think is way underrated for what it is.
He's a look around you. Can you form a rudimentary lathe?
Sam Rockwell is fantastic in that movie.
When they first get transported up to the ship, and like they're not in their like chameleon whatever, so they're just like and Sam Rockwell just freaks out. Yeah. That's why I knew I'd love Moon because I knew Sam Rockwell does a good freak out.
Little
Miss Sunshine. And this one, Big Fish, even though you don't like Tim Burton.
Oh, no, I like Big Fish.
Oh, okay.
There's some Tim Burton that I like.
Big Fish is a good adventure one.
Big Fish was his last good movie.
Spaceballs is also an adventure one.
Yes.
And only I just couldn't put Star Wars on there because Star Wars is fantasy. I mean, sci-fi for me. And Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Recent. I liked it.
I did too. I thought he was really funny, really well made.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is I feel like I might want to save this for another list, but still, I gotta say, I really love Robin Hood Prince of Thieves.
I think it's for another list, though. But it is an adventure.
I tried that again. Because I saw it when it came out. I did not like it. I tried it again because I really like Kevin Costner. But his accent is so weird.
Well, I mean, I don't know why. Morgan Freeman? Just everyone else around him. Basically, what gets me through that movie are Morgan Freeman and Alan Rickman.
And Alan Rickman, yeah.
No Christian Slater?
He doesn't really get me through the movie.
All right. Just checking.
He kind of bugs me.
Was that the end of your list, Jenny?
Yep.
Okay. I was starting to number things. I had a couple of honorable mentions. The Adventures of Tintin, I really enjoyed last year's.
Yeah, I liked it.
Tintin was great. Speaking of, like, action set pieces that has real stakes, like, that chase feels like the chase from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
Yeah, that one that's, like, single shot.
It's funny because that felt more like the fourth Indiana Jones than Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It had that vibe to it. The Beach with DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I thought about that for a sec. I forgot about that movie.
I thought about that too because the book is. It got me to read the book, and the book is amazing. Yes. I love the movie too. The soundtrack is unbelievable.
Yeah.
White Fang with Ethan Hawke.
That was the first movie I cried at.
I did too, probably.
Go, White Fang. Go.
No. Do you guys watch New Girl?
I haven't.
There's a White Fang reference. He's like, I got a white fanger. He chooses her. Castaway. But I'm going to put that in a different list. So
too late.
I know.
He just used it.
Jurassic Park, White Squall, and Congo.
Congo.
Yes.
All right.
We needed something with Bruce Campbell.
We did.
Okay, so this is one I'm surprised that didn't come up, actually. Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
Yes. That's going to be in our babysitting list.
Oh, okay.
So. Still the best on-screen Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
And I actually did forget Jason and the Argonauts.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We needed some Harryhausen on here, too, if we're talking about Grand Adventure.
We should, yeah. That's a good honorable mention, at least. Anything else? Any other honorable mentions?
I'm sure there's a lot that we've left off.
Yes.
This was a really quickly made list, at least on my part.
Me too. We just thought of it yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it was fun. I thought it was some good choices in there. We didn't have too much overlap but for a couple, but not too bad. Not as much as I thought we were going to have. What else? A little business. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. We're at The Film Podcast. On Facebook, facebook.com/ The List Film Podcast. You could email us anything you want. If you're lonely and you want to talk to us, you can email us. We're at The List Film Podcast. No. Yeah, The List Film Podcast at gmail.com. That was confusing. And then you could find myself on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at an Adam Scott, AN underscore Adam Scott.
At BL Bennett, BLBENNETT.
There you go. And for any like in-depth reviews and coverage of stuff, you could follow Adam's website. And his is at shootingthescript.com.
Yeah.
He finally got rid of that Blogspot. I love it.
We never had Blogspot.
WordPress.
Whatever.
WordPress.
Yeah. And then you're also writing for MoviePass.
MoviePass. Blog.moviepass.com.
Yeah. They got to get rid of that thing, too. It's confusing.
There's a lot of things that we need to talk about, but I haven't talked about them in a while.
So okay.
Talked with them in a while, I should say.
And then what else? Any other business? If you're going to buy something off Amazon, go ahead and click on our little banner on our website at thelistfilmpodcast.com. That'll throw us a couple of shekels our way. And, we'll keep doing this and, you know, putting up more episodes. And if you really, really love us and want to support us, go leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us. Somehow it helps us. I don't know how, but it does. That's it. Right, guys? Anything else you want to plug?
I think we're good.
All right, then. Until next time, have a good
Raiders of the Lost Ark.